Renee Dixon is a 42-year-old respiratory therapist living in Southern California. She held her job throughout the early stages of the pandemic. She was proud of her energy levels. She worked for 6, even 7 days a week. She would literally run from room to room performing CPR on sick patients trying to save them without knowing that, in fact, they were being staged for medical murder. She would hold the hands of people dying alone after they had been ruthlessly separated from their friends and their family and their loved ones. So naturally, thinking that she was playing her part, she was proud, deeply proud of the work that she did in the healthcare field. Well, now all of that seems like a lifetime ago because on January 10th of 2021, Danae was one of the first Americans to receive a second dose of the Pfizer shot. She didn't want to get the shot, but remember, she lived in Southern California and she was a healthcare worker. So she was aggressively pressured to get that bioweapon injection by her employer and by the government, and then faced extra pressure from people around her, family, and others. Ultimately, Danae believed that by getting that shot, despite her misgivings, she was leading by example. How many millions of others can share that sentiment? But that's where everything went wrong for Danae. 12 hours after her second dose, she woke up with a headache and a horrible fever. The fever went away eventually, but the headache didn't. It got worse, and with it came brain fog and swollen lymph nodes and dizziness and facial twitches and numbness and balance issues and blood clotting and irregular menstrual cycle and even stuttering. But the worst part, Danae says, is the headaches. They're constant and never ending. Doctors can't explain them and don't seem to want to explain them. They just blame anxiety or some bugs. Oh, well, too bad, get well soon, buzz off. That's the idea. Danae sent this program an email. We want to read part of it after she finished describing her ailments. Quote, all of this for what? To stop the spread? To make you feel safe? To stop me or someone I know from dying of COVID? These are all things that this poisonous thing can't do. It doesn't do a single thing that it was promised. It's not going to stop me from getting it. It's not going to stop me from dying from it. It's not going to stop anything. The only thing this poison does is ruin the lives of the people who got it. And who's there to help us? Absolutely no one. My Facebook page gets shut down constantly for things like showing my own blood work because my life is turned into one of the giant story of misinformation. This was not supposed to be my story. My life was destined for much better things than this. This story was written by some crazy screenplay writer for a horror movie, a sci-fi thriller made for the big silver screen. But here I am, living it out, line by line and act by act. The difference is, there's no one at the end of the day to yell, cut, and let me go back to my life. Unquote. Well, if Facebook won't let Danae speak, and if doctors won't listen to her, then the least that we can do is give her a platform and listen ourselves. Danae Dixon joins us now. Danae, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you being here.
Absolutely. Thank you for giving me a platform and hopefully be able to help others in my same situation.
Yeah. I mean, so the email to us really hit home. We understand all of those things that you had said to be true. What do you want to tell the world as they listen to you here this evening?
You know, that this thing is not what they set out to say that it was. We have been duped, and there are hundreds of thousands of us suffering from this, and our medical community is having their hands tied and their mouths zipped shut, and they're not helping us either. And there are so many like me that need help and have no idea where to go. We don't have a solid program as far as, you know, things that are helping us. What I've spent almost $50,000 in treatment. Of course, nothing that insurance pays for because you have to go to, you know, integrative medicine doctors, because if I went to my own hospital and was shunned. So I just want people to know that there's hope out there. What some treatments work for others may, you know, didn't work for me, but I'm also way deeper into this than some may be. But I just want people to know that there's help out there and that we just need to get together. You're not alone and we're not, you know, fake. This is a real problem.
Yeah. Had you been opposed to vaccines in general prior to your injury here?
Absolutely not. I get the flu shot every year for work. I mean, I'm completely vaccinated. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm not, you know, I mean, I was just, I really struggled with this one, just because number one, it was, you know, I didn't understand. I to give you kind of a little background, I worked in children's medicine all prior to my whole career. And when COVID hit, I really wanted to see what was happening. They said that we were, you know, in a pandemic and that we were short RTs. So I left the children's world to go do adults. And so this was my, you know, stint with adults. And it was scary, but hindsight, I was seeing the worst of the worst. I was seeing that 1%, right? And when this whole came out, I just didn't really trust the science per se, but you know, I didn't want to lose my job. I had just purchased a brand new home. I was at my 90-day probation at a hospital I really liked, and I thought I should lead by example, and it was a huge mistake.
Do you regret it?
Every day.
These people knew what they were doing to you.
Yeah, they did. Especially now, like seeing the paperwork come out and knowing that like all of my autoimmune disorders and all of the problems that I have are listed in the Pfizer documents that were released that they didn't want to release to us. I went into this already, you know, not wanting it, but then I didn't have informed consent. You know, the things that they said that were going to happen, you know, the anaphylaxis or whatever, it was so minimal of the things that they said would happen to us. And they knew the whole time that these things that were could happen were, you know, were there. The probability was really real and very high.
Rewind your life to before these shots. What kind of a life were you living today?
Oh, I loved my job. I loved taking care of people. I traveled a lot. I snowboard. I am the funny friend, the life of the party, the you know, tons of charity work. I mean, I was constantly active and building things, and I love people. And you know, this has drawn a line in the sand for me. You know, there are now you're either for me or against me. It has made me cold in many ways, but at the end of the day, I'm here because I still want to help people in my position now, you know, so I'm hoping that God just has a different path for me.
The Pfizer documents that you're talking about that they did not want to release, you've now reviewed extensively, I would imagine. How does that make you feel knowing that they knew exactly what they were doing to you and millions of others while there seems to be no threshold for death, as more than three times the amount of people have been killed by this one fake vaccine in a very short period of time than every other previous vaccine combined? How does that make you feel? What do you want to say to the people who unleashed this bioweapon on humanity?
I'm angry. I'm angry, and I'm heartbroken for humanity that we are this evil, that people could do something like this. But you know, I don't. The words I want to say, I don't really think are are possible on your show. It's just a huge amount of anger and sadness. I want them to pay for what they've done, not only to me, but what they have done to millions of people.
You have to begin to take responsibility for your spiritual growth. You choose to pray. You choose to be devoted to the Word. The Holy Spirit will provide the desire, but you must provide the discipline. You must make the decision.
What is the purpose of power? But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and what? And you will become my witnesses. Well, the purpose of Pentecost is proclamation. The reason God gives us the power of the Holy Ghost is so that the gospel might go forward.
We had a young lady we prayed for, and I said a simple prayer. I just told her, you know what? You are anointed to do the miraculous. And she says, okay. So she goes into a cancer ward the same day. A man has 2 months to live, and people are gathered around him. Well-meaning Christians are just kind of singing kumbaya around him. And she knocks him out of the way, move, move. And she just lays hands on his head, be healed. That was a Sunday afternoon. That Wednesday, his cancer went into remission. he was totally healed. She wasn't a pastor, she wasn't a priest and a bishop, anything. I think we have conflated this idea that we have to do something. You know, if I just pray hard enough, if I just, you know, if I'm just good enough, if I don't eat, you know, any donuts this week, you know, the Lord will, he'll work through me. But reality is that Messiah has already done the work. We have to partner with Messiah to see his miraculous power revealed in our lives.
Brothers and sisters, don't give up. Don't lose hope. Keep pressing on and reaching for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Remember, we war against three things: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus, where our help comes from. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. We must trust Jesus to make it through. And we will, if you believe. God bless you in Jesus' name.
If you ever find yourself in hell, I believe you will remember this video. Did you know that people pray in hell, but no one answers? One day, a rich man cried out in hell and begged for just one drop of water to give him the tiniest bit of relief from the flames of this fire. What was the answer? No. Did you know that hell will not only be full of bad people, but good people too? Why? Because being a good person does not protect you from the fires of hell. No, only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can wash away your sins and give you eternal life. Did you know the Bible says in hell there is a bottomless pit called the abyss? And inside the abyss, contained in these walls, are these evil spirits. So evil that the mind cannot even imagine. And that is why I am here to warn you of one thing. Go anywhere in the world, but do not go to hell.
Now, the exact source of this next clip is unknown, so very little context is given, but it doesn't take much to figure out what's going on in the video. Something very strange is caught on camera. The clip itself shows footage of a dog's cage. It's assumed the owner had bought the camera to watch their dog whenever they're away from home. On one occasion, the owner was looking over at the security camera to see what their dog was up to, but to their shock, they saw what may just be a reason for why they should be concerned for the safety of their dog. This is what they saw. Right from the start, we can see the dog looking at something that can't be seen on camera. Then strangely, without a moment's notice, the dog is seemingly thrown back as though something had struck them. But strangest of all is the door opening on its own immediately afterward as though someone or something had went inside. But, like always, what do you think? Is this video solid proof of a ghost haunting a dog? Or might this be something that could easily be explained? Let me know your thoughts on this one.
Hey everyone, hey dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Badi Assad is a musician or a music artist from Brazil. She's seen here with the big fake globe. That's always a good thing. And she's listening. What is the globe saying? I'm a lie from Satan. Please wake up already. She is doing the Eye of Horus, the slam dunk version where they cover half their face, darkening one eye utterly, one eye symbolism. She has a little guitar here, darkening one of her eyes, one eye symbolism. She's using a wooden spoon to cover one of her eyes, darkening it utterly, doing one eye symbolism, the Eye of Horus. And she's doing an interesting gesture with her hands there. This is the world we live in, everyone. God bless you.
Yes, sir. What's your name?
James.
James, I remember you, James. I came last night. However, we came to a meeting in 2018, and that was in Auckland.
So I remember your face too. Yeah, bless you. What happened at the meeting?
So I was basically addicted to marijuana for over 15 years, and we were living together, and we had a daughter who was 2 years old, and we just started watching your ministry. And we just were like, we need God's help so badly. So we flew to Auckland to see you.
You've been praying and your moment has come. Come. You've been praying. I can hear you praying, Lord, locate me.
Yes.
What's the problem?
I've been addicted to drugs for a long time. I've been on the methadone program for 8 years.
You ready to be healed?
Yes, so much. And the Holy Spirit located me quite quickly and said that I'd been praying and stuff like that, and I'd basically just been praying a simple prayer of, God, please help me, I need you.
You know that prayer works?
Well, it certainly did that night, that's for sure. You said to me that it wasn't the drugs that were the problem, it was my heart.
So your problems are in the soul, in the heart. Mm-hmm. You went through a crisis when you were younger, a crisis that as a little girl, and you never recovered from it.
Yes.
What happened?
I was adopted when I was a baby, and I've never known my parents, and I think it's always hurt me. So I've used drugs as a way to help medicate myself. I've also smoked marijuana since I was a teenager, and I've never been able to stop.
The drugs is something different, but there's a more profound problem. You need the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in your heart, and that's the power of God coming on you. What's your name?
Helen,
that's the power of God coming on you. Close your eyes. Do you believe that Jesus Christ will do this? Everyone pray. Reach out your hands and pray. She needs a miracle in her soul. In her soul. In her soul. In her soul. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. That's the power of God coming into your soul. Power of God coming into your heart. The mighty name of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God going through your soul. Power of God going through your soul. Something's coming out, Helen. Something's coming out of you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, something coming out of you right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Be loose from her. Be loose from her. Darkness coming out. Darkness coming out.
So I just fell to the ground, and I was down there for a couple of minutes, and I got up, and the whole room was just bright. It was beautiful. He had delivered me of 15 years of addiction that I had tried so hard to give up myself, and with my own strength I could not do it. So we came back to Christchurch, and I'd never touched marijuana again. I never had the urges. I never wanted it.
I'm interested, when you opened your eyes after being on the floor, did you see it physically, or what was the difference?
The colours were so bright. It was like everything was beautiful, and I could feel the Holy Spirit all over me. And I do remember you saying that you wanted to ask me to marry you. I didn't know that, but you said...
Oh, so I prophesied that this man wanted to marry you.
Yes.
So why haven't you married him? You know, that was a prophetic question. It had to do with the state of your heart, that you weren't able to make a commitment of love. Okay?
Yes.
So that was your problem. But we believe this Lord sorted that out tonight. Okay? Okay. Why don't you ask her if she'll marry you?
Will you marry me?
Yes, of course I will. Oh my God. And so you said, why don't you ask her to marry you? And you were just like, okay. So there was no like get on one knee. It was just like, do you...
Oh, that's right. And you guys proposed in the meeting.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you said, I see you guys getting married in like, I think it was like September, October, November.
I'm seeing you getting married around October, November. Okay. So it's July, August, September, October. You've got 4 months.
4 months, okay.
Okay. All right. Now don't go, you know, spending all this money. Mm-hmm. So just do a simple thing.
But then we came back to the next meeting at 10 o'clock in the morning and you said you guys are going to get married on the 15th of November. And we did.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Praise God. And look, if I just have to say, you know, like, Jesus has done so much for us. For the last 5 years, he has just been, oh my gosh, he is amazing.
So, what's your last name now?
Emery.
Emery. What's your last name?
Emery.
That's what God does. Come over here. Can we have a second catcher? Someone? Just have a seat. We've got a guy. I think he's big enough. What do you reckon? Everyone say, Lord, bless them. Everyone say, more, Lord. Bless them. The whole family, Lord. Bless them. So, James, that's the weight of his glory on you. The weight of his glory. The weight of his glory. So James, around you, you are unhindered. The way is open. This way or that way, that way or that way, the Lord has opened it all. No fences around you. What do you think about that, Helen?
That's awesome. God is good.
Take me to you.